And now it's time for the General Galen Shaw Show here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. The General Galen Shaw Show and the world-famous Phil Henry Show, brought to you by the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You know what?
We gotta start this again.
What?
What is this world-famous Phil Henry Show?
Well, it is the platform.
It's the what?
It's the platform.
It's the platform. Okay. What's that, Phil?
Let's keep going.
Well, Phil's here. Now, you're here.
I'm here, but I'm going to be leaving in a few minutes. I watched the intro. You're fine. Just keep going.
Anyway, welcome here to... Well, it's
the General Galen Shaw Show on the Phil Henry Show. You guys do it again. Mr. Just do it again.
God. Hey, Phil, it's Professor Clayton.
Oh, hey, Professor Clayton.
Do I have to sit through all of this?
Yeah, they'll get it together.
Because I've got a couple of comic books I could read or something.
It's all right.
And now it's the General Galen Shaw Show, here at philhenryshow.com.
Well, thank you very much, Margaret, and welcome everyone here to the General Galen Shaw Show today. We just heard from Phil. He's on his way out to do some rehearsing. He's also meeting with one of his producers, one of his good friends, Jonah Weiland, produced Phil over at KFI back in the day. He's going to be talking to him as Phil prepares for his one-man show there. And is it a one-man show, or is it...
Well, it is. It's Phil presenting interviews with different people that he has known down through the years. It's one of the reasons why we have Professor Clayton on.
And we do want to bring on Professor Emery Clayton. You heard him in the promo, and we haven't seen you in a long time, sir.
It's a great pleasure, and thank you for inviting me.
Now, we thought we'd bring you on to help us, because I know you don't want to be a part...
Phil did ask me, and I declined politely, because it's not really where... I don't think it's a good venue for me. I'm more of an intellectual, and I said, can we talk about American history? Can we talk about 20th century? He says, no. He said, I want to do different interviews about a lot of the quote-unquote antics that you got up to. And I said, no.
You weren't interested?
No. I said, Phil... You know, you can get all of those clowns and you can put them in their big noses and just line them up, because I am getting out of the big shoes, I'm putting the banana up, and I'm getting in my car and I'm driving to a place called Intellectual City, you know.
Well, what? No, I'm just saying.
What I'm doing is I am taking the big shoes and the clown nose.
Yes, and you're putting them where?
I'm putting them in the locker.
You're putting him in the clown locker.
No, wait. I'm taking all the shoes, the big nose, which is not my thing anyway, and I'm taking them, and there's a grave, and it says clown. They're all going into that grave, and if I got to drive a stake...
All right, I think we understand. You're saying you're not going to be a part of the comedy anymore.
I've never wanted to be a part of the comedy. I know that coming on Phil's show, you are almost forced into it. You know, it's almost like someone is... I hate to say this, but it's like someone is pushing you into a room where there's nothing but a lot of
B.O.
I guess you could, yeah, a lot of B.O. I'm amusing General Shaw.
Oh, I'm sorry, that's how you felt being on the Phil Henry Show.
I felt, yes, many times when I was invited on Phil's show, he'd say, come on, Professor Clayton. And I'd say, okay, but this is going to be another one of your three-ring circuses. He said, no. He said, a lot of people do have dumb opinions. I said, well, you got that right. I said, but I would like to speak on some of the issues. And he said, I'll do my best. Well, every time I came on this program, I would start off with something very serious, something I felt was very compelling. And then I felt two hands on my shoulders from behind, pushing and pushing, and then a door opens.
And it's a bunch of guys with dirty gym shorts?
Well, it just, you walk in and suddenly, oh, man.
Yeah, it needs to be sprayed.
In other words, it's not a pleasant environment. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. So,
and you're saying that being on the Phil Henry Show was like walking into a locker room where everyone smelled bad.
Yes, that's... I realize I'm putting in a rather floral. I'm trying to be as descriptive as I can.
All right. Well, we'll try to make the experience a little bit more pleasant as we talk to different people who Phil would like to interview, possibly on his show. And he did ask you.
Yeah, Phil asked me, and I politely declined. I said, no, Phil, I can't. After having, you know...
Feeling two hands on your shoulders.
Yeah, feeling two hands, just pushing me into a room where all of a sudden, oh,
I got it.
And I know, I love Phil. He's a wonderful man. He works very hard. But that's really the experience for me. When I walk into the Phil Henry Show, I'm walking into a restroom to use the toilet. and I'm seeing a fat man leaving. And,
oh my God.
All right, knock it off with a joke. I'm not joking. And I go and I look. You know,
yeah, you look at the toilet.
Yeah, never mind. Enough said about that. So I'm happy to be here today, though, and to talk with you, General, and you, Margaret, and you, Bud, and certainly with some of the folks you have coming on.
Well, the first guy that we're going to bring on here, who does actively want to be on the Phil Henry one-man show at Theater West on September 28th in Hollywood, California, in Cahuenga, is Stephen Bozell.
How do you do?
Hi, Mr. Bozell. I think you and I have met once before.
Yes, we have. We have.
You have a seat there, Steve. Steve, you want to be on this show.
I do. I've always felt that I could be, as you know, I've felt that I could be stand-up, do the stand-up comedy. And I know this is not a stand-up comedy show, but I feel I could answer the questions that Mr. Henry's going to ask in a humorous manner and like that, you know.
All right. Professor Emery Clayton's here. He wants to talk with you.
And I'm happy to talk with you, Professor. I haven't seen you in a while, but can I ask you, is this like, am I going to be tested?
No, I'm not testing you. I want to ask you about certain things I've heard you say and to see how you react to those things and to see if you, I don't know, it's up to Phil, and just figure out your pattern of thinking with these things. For instance, you were on this program a while back, and you mentioned, and I didn't get the whole story, a wad of mayonnaise on your chin?
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, hold on, bud.
Yeah. Why are you asking me about that?
Because I want to know if you're a serious-thinking man. I know you're a serious-thinking man, Mr. Bozell, but while there is comedy, there's also serious commentary, and I never did get the full story on that.
So this was a time when he had a what?
He had a wad of mayonnaise.
Oh, you had a wad of mayonnaise on your chin at the beach.
Yeah, well, okay, what happened was
This resulted in some kind of legal action, right?
Well, I did. No, I went to my attorney, Dolores Blasingame, and I wanted to, see if I could, where I was legally protected, and my wife laughing at me because I had what she called a money shot.
All right, hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. All right, so you went to the attorney and you wanted to protect yourself legally against your own wife.
Yeah, well, yes, sir. I mean, I'm not trying to say that I wanted to. I just want to know what my rights are in that situation.
All right, so what happened?
I happen to like mayonnaise on my hamburgers, and we had hamburgers. We also had hot dogs. And I tried it on a hot dog. That's all I did, just to see what mayo's like. People say mustard. People say ketchup.
God damn. All right, why don't you shut up, Bud?
Bud, please.
Yeah, you know what, Dickman? You know, to each his own, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry.
You know, if I want mayo on a hot dog, does that all of a sudden make me seem like, oh, man.
Right, take it easy.
Now, we're not talking like that, Steve, so go ahead.
I'm sitting there at the beach. I'm having a hot dog. And my wife says, she said, Steve, you look like it's the second reel, and you took one off the chin. And she's like, you know, holding her mouth, and I go, huh? You know? All of a sudden, I'm worried.
You were worried. Why?
Because I don't know what she's talking about, and she's putting her hand over her mouth like she's going, hee, 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 hee.
So what happened?
I got out a pocket mirror from my wife's purse because it was right there in front of me, and she's going, what are you trying to do? And I said, I want to see what it is you're talking about. And I put up an arrow as big as life. There's a wad of mayo on my chin.
So your wife was making a dirty movie reference.
Yes, sir. She was saying, looks like it's the second reel you took.
And you took the money shot.
Okay, sir.
I mean, you have to understand something. You know, I don't.
No, I understand you didn't want anybody to say that to you. And I certainly don't, I don't think anybody doing that is doing in good taste. But you also have to just sort of let these things slide, don't you think?
Well, you know, it all depends. I mean, I've been on Mr. Henry's show before, where he's agreed with me on a couple of these things.
And Mr. Henry's agreed with what?
Phil has agreed with you on some of the lawsuits?
Well, especially some things. I've got a next-door neighbor, Roy Hutchins, and
What is the man's name?
Roy Hutchins.
All right.
And he grew a zucchini.
Oh, not the zucchini.
Well, you know what? I happen to care about my family, my wife and my daughter, okay?
What happened here?
He grew a zucchini, and he's hanging it over the back fence. He's going, yeah, check it out. And I'm like, what is that about? He's showing my wife and my daughter this gigantic zucchini. Looks like something out of a John Holmes movie.
You thought that the zucchini that this man grew was phallic.
It was. He's going, yeah, look at the size of this, 13 inches. I don't know.
All right, so did you go to your attorney on this one?
Yes, I went. You know, I can tell the way you're looking at me. Well, no, hold on, Steve, because you know, this is your world, and we're trying to understand it.
I just want to know. So you went to a lawyer to get your next-door neighbor to do what?
I went to my attorney, Dolores Blasingame, and I asked for a cease and desist and a restraining order, a no-contact order, so he doesn't hang some Johnny Wide-looking zucchini over the fence.
Okay, did you get that restraining order?
No, but my attorney advised me to just, she said, just when you see the zucchini, just look the other way. And I said, what about my daughter? And she said, has he shown it to her since? And I said, no.
And what about saying something to your neighbor?
Well, that's what the lawyer said.
Yeah, Dolores Blasingame told him, said, just say something. I'm like, you know, I don't want you hanging that big zucchini over the fence.
Which is what I did, and he pointed to his you-know-what, and what, you mean this? And then he laughed.
So you got a neighbor who likes to pull a lot of jokes, and you don't like the jokes.
No, I do not like the joke. I didn't like that one. I got a wife and daughter?
Oh, for God. Wait, hold on, Margaret. That's... I know.
We're not supposed to say anything.
I know.
So, You got upset. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah. I understand, Steve, that there are things in this world that bother you. Hanging a big zucchini over the fence.
See, right there, I saw you laugh.
Well, I'm sorry. Hanging a big zucchini over the fence, taking a money... No, you didn't take a money shot, but you have mayonnaise. You have a wad of mayo on your chin, and your wife making fun of that. And you said there was one more.
And the other instance was my wife had a bachelorette party for a friend of hers that was getting married. And she had in the freezer these popsicles that were shaped like a man's penis. She did not tell me. She did not inform me at that time. And in that place, at that time, I was out mowing the lawn. It was hot. I came in to cool off. And I saw the popsicles. And I took them and I began to...
You started sucking on one.
Well, I had it in my mouth.
You had this popsicle shaped like a penis.
See, everybody's laughing now.
It's difficult not to. Sorry, Steve.
I apologize, Steve. You had this popsicle.
Yes, I did. And there I'm going. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Please, Mr. I'm sorry, Mr. Bozell.
Steve, come back.
No, that's quite fine.
All right, I do apologize. This is the reason why I don't want to come on this program.
Well, we understand. You keep saying it's a clown act.
It is a clown act. And here's Mr. Bozell, a perfectly wonderful man that I've had a great friendship, you know, a good professional working acquaintanceship with, and he's walking off, understandably offended.
Because you broke up thinking about him mowing his lawn with a penisicle in his face.
Yeah.
A what?
He had a penisicle.
Okay, moving on. I like it. Steve, I'm sorry.
Yeah, whatever. Where's my car parked?
It's around the side. I'll go get it.
Steve, come on.
You want to be laughed at again? Forget it.
I really do apologize, Mr. Bozell. I'll send you an email tonight explaining. Oh, boy. So we have one more guest here.
We do. We'll take a break, though, and we'll be right back. We've got Dr. Jim Sadler.
Is this the man who had his tongue severed by a cheetah?
He lost half of his tongue in supposedly a lion-taming accident.
Oh.
All right, we'll be right back.
This is Rick Kresko from Kresko Racing, advising you to get a backstage pass to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Professional racers enjoy listening to Phil's comedy because it calms them down. They can think about it as they're going through the turns, as they're hitting top speed, and as they're making their moves through the chicane and down the backstretch. We like to listen to Phil Henry's show, listen to some of the comedy comedic bits and all of the comedy and comedic stuff that happens. That way, when we do lose control of the car, we're laughing all the way into the wall.
He's only kidding. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
No, I am not.
All right, thank you. The world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Get a Backstage Pass subscription today for 60,000 hours of the greatest radio and digital content your ass has ever beheld. Also, video content, home movies, pre-shows, Saturday cinemas, all of the podcasts from Bobby Dooley and Elcott, The Next Step, as well as the Milwaukee Lions. It never ends. ends, it never quits.
If I make it into the pits alive, I go home listening to the Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com, the greatest value online other than porn.
And now back to the General Galen Shaw Show.
Thank you very much, Margaret. And those of you who are listening in here for the first time, I am taking over a little bit for Phil, who asked me to, because he is deep in the process, I guess.
Yes, Phil is. He has this show coming up, The World of Phil Hendry. It'll be at Theater West, a great, great theater, long-standing theater company, and he'll be doing the show on September 28th, The World of Phil Hendry. And at present, he's
working on that.
He's doing a lot. Yes.
We're very happy to have with us Professor Emery Clayton, who has come in. And so far, Professor Clayton, what do you think?
Well, so far, you know, I said to Margaret, I said to General Shaw, I said to Bud Dickman, I said, you know, I appreciate Phil, but I didn't want to get sucked into what I call the clown locker, where you go in and you're there with the dirty sneakers and someone's jockstrap. You know?
No, I understand.
And
well, do you feel you have?
I don't think I'm in the clown locker yet, but I feel like someone picked me up and is hanging me in there. It's tough to say.
Well,
you know, I am asking questions. I asked Steve Bozell why do you have the wad of mayonnaise on his chin.
And then you started laughing.
I did start laughing, yes. So I'm going to... That's on me. I want everyone listening right now, those of my students especially, I want to make this point. I have my students at L.A. Canyon College. I don't want to see any of you when I have my very first American history lecture tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. We have 20th century history at noon. I don't want anybody coming up to me and saying, man, you killed last night or today on the Hendry. I don't want to hear that all that show business, how you crushed it, you killed it, you know. Otherwise, I'm going to kill somebody.
Now, you don't really believe that, do you, Professor? I don't know. I don't
really. But I don't like the idea that we're all standing around some, like we're in the, what do they call it, a green room, and they're saying, hey, you killed it, you crushed it. And they're all buying me drinks because I killed it and I crushed it. Poor Mr. Bozell is talking about having a
popsicle shaped like a penis.
Yeah, in his mouth.
Yeah, and you laughed.
I know I laughed. I know I laughed, and to my everlasting regret. And if you're listening right now, Mr. Bozell, my apologies.
Now we want to bring on here Dr. Jim Sadler. That was
very interesting.
Dr. Sadler has been on the Mr. Hendry Show for a while. And do you have interest in being on The World of Phil Hendry?
Well, I have interest in being on The World of Phil Hendry, much the same way that Professor Clayton is talking about being an academic, an academician, and a social science. I'm a doctor, and so I don't want to be on The Phil Hendry Show if, as Professor Clayton would put it, if he's going to step on a whoopee cushion just as I'm opening my mouth, so it's, you know.
So it sounds like you're...
So it sounds like what's coming out of your mouth is gas from someone's rear end.
Yes, and I'm afraid that that's what he's going to do.
Are you... So do you want to be on the show?
I want to be on the show with those provisos.
All right, well, Professor Clayton was going to ask you a few questions.
Yes, I wanted to ask you the question here, Dr. Sadler. I heard you on a show one night, on the Phil Hendry Show. You were assisting in delivering a baby.
Yes.
And it is common that a lot of women, in the midst of delivering or having a child, will break out with some profanity, curse the husband.
Absolutely, yes.
And say things like, damn you to hell, I wish you were never born, this kind of thing.
Yes.
And you heard a woman doing that during this delivery.
Let me just hold on for a minute so I can explain. I had done five difficult deliveries that week. Every time I'm listening to the woman saying, well, you dirty, you know, and she's looking at me and she's saying, what are you looking at? And this kind of stuff.
No, wait a minute. She said what?
Look, at I was there, okay, General?
All right. She's saying, what are you looking at?
I'm telling you, the baby is coming out. And she's like, that guy that I married, I hope I never see him again. I hope he drives his car off a cliff. And she looked up at me. She goes, what are you looking at? I said, I'm the doctor. And then she says to me, well, what are you getting your teeth straightened? And
you lost it.
I lost it, and I punched her.
Oh, my God.
I heard what you did back.
Yes, exactly. And I admit to it.
And it was a wrong thing to do.
It was a wrong thing. But the five straight days, there are women giving birth to babies saying, "Hey, ugly, what's with you?" You know, and they were all talking to you. Yeah, all of them talking to me and saying, "Why don't you go out and come back in again and see if you get any better looking?"
You trying to tell me all these women having babies are saying that?
Women, when they're having babies, are very insulting.
Yeah, but I've never heard of a woman having a baby and being that creative.
What do you mean creative? I mean, these... Oh, boy.
Well, all right, so they're what did they say? These women are saying things. They weren't just saying GD and MF.
No, no, they were not. And they were talking about their husbands being the lowest things on earth. And if I ever get my hands on that guy that made me have this baby, you know, it'll be the last thing that he's... The last thing he sees will be my pissed off face. Stuff like that, you know?
And they're saying this to you.
Yeah. And then they finally look at me and they go, "You know what, as long as we're on the topic, who hit you with the ugly stick?" That kind of stuff.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. And I'm getting 5 days of this until finally on the fifth day, this one woman looks at me and says, "When are you getting your teeth straightened, Bucky?" Hey, Bucky Beaver, that kind of stuff.
What are you talking about? She was...
Yeah, when I went over to wash my hands, she's yelling at me from the delivery bed. She's going, "Ho, you know, hey, Bucky, Buxton." And the other doctors are saying, "Why don't you calm down?" And she's saying, "F you, you and the horse you rode in." And when I came back, she goes, "Here comes Bucky. When are you getting the teeth straightened?" And that's when I... Look at this. Look at this.
God, Professor Clayton, I'm sorry.
How about that, huh? And I was told I would be taken seriously.
You are being taken seriously. I'm sorry. And you hauled off and belted her.
That's right. Thank you.
Please, Dr. Sadler.
Dr. Sadler, come on.
I didn't know that I was going to... There's a lot of... Everybody say you might get laughed at.
I don't know why, and this is why I don't come on the Henry Show, because...
Because you think he's funny.
Do I think Phil's funny? I think the people he has on his show are funny. I think the situations he has on his show are funny. And I get sucked in, man.
Yes, two hands pushing you into the room full of toilet smell.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Well, I know how you feel, because that's... Kind of how I feel.
All right. Do you feel cheated every time you brought on the Henry Show?
I know they're going to do something to try to make fun of me. And they're going to do something to try to piss me off.
Oh, well.
Oh, yeah. Like it's no big thing, huh?
Look, at Dr. Satter, there are scarier things in this world than you pissed off.
Ooh.
Boy, that sounds like...
Wait a minute.
Break it up. That sounds like a good...
You stepped to me? I tell you what, Dr. Satter, I'm very, very sorry. I didn't mean to... bother you today. We'll let you go.
Yeah, well, let me tell you something. I oil up, lift weights. You come over to my house sometime, General Shaw.
I don't need to come over to your house and watch you in a jockstrap pole dance.
Oh, really? I'm oiled up on my front lawn. This woman is laying there in that bed giving birth to a baby and saying, "Hey, ugly, while you're out there, get me a Diet Coke, will you?"
These are women that are giving birth and they're giving you all kinds of crap.
Yes. God. All right, well, I'm having a hard time believing it. Well,
oh, my God. You did bring it on the show.
All right, if that's the case. So what do you think you can contribute to Mr. Henry's show?
I was thinking that I could come on stage and talk to him about the challenges of being a doctor. Of, somehow try to get through to these. I know a lot of these monkeys listen to him.
Well, I will tell you this. Insulting the audience...
Well, look, I mean, I was thinking maybe I could come on the stage and say, "While you're laughing at this bit, I want you to know some woman that was giving birth to a baby called me Bucky Beaver, told me to run out and get a new face," stuff like that.
While they're laying there, yeah.
Because I know that women giving birth are oftentimes profane.
Well, yeah, they were doing all that too.
All right, well, have you assisted in delivery since?
No, I have not. No, I have not. It's not anything I like to do. I like my office... I like to just stay in my office, and people that come in with the sniffles, that's it.
You're just treating the sniffles.
That's right. That's right. I can go home and have my wife say, "Here he comes, four eyes. I don't need some woman giving birth to a baby to lay there doing the same thing." So.
All right, well, I guess that's a no, huh?
Oh, it's a yes. It's a qualified yes.
You might want to do the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, if he's not going to sit there like you just did.
And you oil up.
That's right. I oil up. I lift. You know,
All right, okay.
You take a look at the guns I got on me. I put my arm out the window, and I intimidate people.
All right, thank you very much, Dr. Sadler. Yeah.
Well.
All right, well, that concludes that, ladies and gentlemen. As far as I'm concerned, that was a big fat zero. No, it wasn't. It was. You found out a lot of things. What did I find out? I found out that Steve Bozell is sucking on penisicles, or whatever the hell they're called, and I find out that this guy has to punch out women that are giving birth to babies because they called him Four Eyes and Bucky Beaver.
Well,
what are you asking me? Would I do that? No, of course I wouldn't.
Well, I'm just saying that's a situation that not a lot of us have been in or know anything about.
You gave birth to a child. Did you do that?
Well, yes, I did. Of course I did. All women do. Frank was standing there going, "How is he?" Meaning me. I said, "Frank, it's great to see you. When you get a new brain, see the nurse and we'll let you back in."
All of this while you're giving birth?
All of this while I was giving birth to Jason J. Delmonico, yes. Look at you guys. Well,
There's not a whole hell of a lot more to say than thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Professor Emery Clayton, for being our special guest host here on the General Galen Shaw Show. Easy. Okay, see, this is why I didn't want to do it. The General Galen Shaw Show, executive produced by Phil Henry, for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved on Podcast One. That's why I said I don't want to come on the clock.
Yes, but you're the one that laughed.
Yeah, you laughed at the penisicle.
You did.
Yeah.